Anyway, boy, wasn't that great? I don't know about you, I'm thankful for mercy. What we deserved was justice. But aren't you glad God showed us mercy? And I thank him for that. I pray you bear with me today. I had another treatment this week. I'm taking a different medicine because my medicine is not available. The medicine I'm taking has a terrible name. It's called Octagom. And that just sounds bad, doesn't it? And I want to tell you it is bad because I've been in bed for 3 days. But God is going to give me strength for today. I know he will. And I appreciate your prayers, church. I'm here by the grace of God, and I'm thankful for the privilege I have of being here today. Each year at this time, we adopt a new budget for our church. We go from October 1st to the end of September, and we adopt this budget, and we try to follow. That's a plan that God has for us, and we follow that plan. We are a very fiscally responsible church. In fact, every month at business meeting, we'll give you a budget about how we have spent every penny of the money that's given by the people in this church. Now, I want to know today, do you want to know the good news or the bad news? Well, let me tell you the good news. The good news is there is no bad news. Praise God. Last year, amen. Last year, our budget called for $592,205.04. And as of last Sunday, okay, we've taken in $632,143.53. That is $39,938 over budget this year. Praise God. Now, we raised budget. We didn't raise it up a lot. In fact, I'm asking you to, if you gave the same you gave this last year, we're going to meet budget. Because our budget for this year is only $614,583.76, which is a 3.78 increase, which calls for $11,818 a week. And last year, as of last Sunday, we've averaged $12,642 a week. Isn't God good? Now, let me tell you something more exciting than that. Is about our mission giving. Our missions, God has blessed us above measure. We, this year, are going to give to missions. We finished out the fiscal year because we pay the cooperative program and our other missions, we pay them a month behind. But we're going to give $100,023.77, which is 16.9% of our budget, praise God. Isn't God good? Brother Don, that's better than 15%, by the way. And here's the better part. If you add in our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, our home Annie Armstrong offering, our GoTel Fund, our Thanksgiving basket, people that give to that, and our Operation Backpack, and a gift was given at the end in September, by a family of our church, $16,000 for needy families, and VBS mission offering, and Awana mission, and assistance from my special fund. We gave to missions, catch this, $146,000, church. That's God. Now, if that doesn't excite you, I don't have anything else to say, Dave, because that ought to excite you. But you know what? Stewardship, I know every time someone says, well, the pastor's going to preach on money. If you come to our church for 6 months, you'll know that I don't preach on money every Sunday. I only preach on money but once a year. Why? Because I believe if we're faithful stewards, God's going to take care of us. Amen? And he always has. And I'm going to tell you the reason I believe God's taking care of Lane Prairie Baptist. He takes care of us because we don't look inward, we look outward. We go beyond the walls of this church and we give to children. Before school starts, we gave over 500 children school supplies. We do Thanksgiving, best Thanksgiving, 130 last year. We're going to be helping people out. And that's what our church is for. We're to help people, folks. And God honors that. Our good news clubs, as we minister into four elementary schools, God is blessing us above measure because we're a church that hasn't turned inward. It's all about us. No, it's about the kingdom. It's about people outside the walls of this church. In fact, I want you to know that stewardship, if we understand the principle of stewardship, we'll understand this. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein." In other words, I don't own anything. Everything I have belongs to God. Is that true? You say, "Well, I work hard for that, Pastor." I want to tell you what, if God didn't give you the strength, you wouldn't be able to do that. If God didn't give you the ability to have that job, you wouldn't be able to do that. God is the one that provides for us. He's the one that's the giver of every good gift. According to James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above. See, our stewardship reflects more than that of finances. It's more than about money. It's about our time, our talents, the stewardship of the gospel as we share the good news of Jesus Christ to other people. Now, here's the problem. I think people have trouble with stewardship. Either they are uninformed, they do not know the principles of stewardship, or they haven't studied the Word of God related to stewardship, or they're in willful rebellion, saying, "I know what stewardship is. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I just refuse to do it." You said, "Well, here's the deal, Brother Jerry. If I had it, I would give it." No, that isn't the principle, folks. The principle is, if you gave it, you would have it. And see, I'm not one of these pastors that's going to say, "Hey, you bring 1,000 seed money, lay it on the altar today, and this week God's going to give you $5,000. I don't do that. Because you know what? Here's what I believe. It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you," Luke 6:38. "Good measure, pressed together, overflowing." In other words, with the measure that you give, God gives to you. By the way, you might need something else. You might give grace, and God's going to give you more grace. You might give love, and God's going to give you more love. You might give financially. Catch this. And God isn't going to reward you financially. He's going to reward you with the need that you have, folks. Understand that. Because God will bless you above measure when we understand the principle of stewardship. The Bible says this in Matthew 6:21. It says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, let me ask you a question. Where's your treasure this morning? Is your treasure in sports? That's where your heart is. Some of you are saying, "Yeah, by the way, Pastor, you know the Cowboys played today at noon." I'm fully aware of that. I had five people leave notes on my pulpit up here. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. But you know what I discovered? I've discovered the Cowboys can lose without me or win without me. I don't have to be there, folks. That game, in the scheme of things, in the scheme of eternity, 5 years from now, none of us will remember who won that game or who didn't win that game. Amen? But what God's doing here this morning is eternal. It is of eternal value. Because there's some here today that I'm going to share with you the good news of the gospel, and you're going to respond to that gospel. You're going to give your life to Christ, and you're going to be forever changed by the power of God. Mercy will come and visit you this morning. Now, the Bible does not teach you that you cannot have possessions. Job, as you know, was a very rich man. If you read the book of Job, it'll tell you about him. Abraham was a very rich man. Isaac and Jacob and Boaz and Solomon were extremely wealthy. But here's what the Bible does say. It says the love of money is the root of all sort of evil, 1 Timothy 6:10. In other words, we got to understand that. There's people in the Bible, they get in trouble. Why? Because they look at things. Remember what 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, it says, "Love not the world nor the things of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life." Remember Achan? Achan took of that which belonged to God. Remember, they had won the battle of Jericho there in Joshua chapter 6. Chapter 7, Achan took a Babylonian garment. And by the way, God said, I'm going to give you the victory. The walls fell down flat, by the way, folks. They walked around for 6 days, one time a day. On the seventh day, they walked around seven times. And the Bible says they blew the trumpet and the walls fell down flat. By the way, these weren't small walls. They had chariot races on top of these walls. They fell down flat. But God told them, you can win the victory, but you can't have any spoils of the victory. In other words, everything belongs to me. And Achan went in there and said, looked. And when he looked, and by the way, here's what temptation does to us. There's temptation, there's hesitation, and then there's participation. Amen? That only happens with things. That happens with people. That happens with the lust of flesh. That happens with the lust of eyes. That happens with the pride of life. We think we're something we're not. I want you to know, all we are is what we are by the grace of God. Thank God for what he's done for us. But Achan took of the accursed thing. He took a Babylonian garment, a wedge of gold, and some silver. He buried it in his tent, thinking he could hide it from God. By the way, you can't hide anything from God. God knows, he sees. You know what happened to Achan? God dealt with him just like he had to do with Adam and Eve when they sinned. An animal had to die, and Achan's family, his wife, his children, his sheep, his goats, everything was brought to the Valley of Achor, and they were stoned and burned to death, folks. Delilah betrayed Samson for money. Judas sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Ananias and Sapphira said that they had sold a piece of property and they lied to the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 5. And they lied and they came in there and all of a sudden, boom, they were dead. Now, I've told you this before. I'm glad that when we come to give of our finances to the Lord on Sunday morning, that people that are lying about what they make because they don't want to give as much, I'm glad there'd be so many ambulances in Johnson County we'd need, because people would die. But listen to me. God has a plan for us, and his plan is a good plan. Let me explain to you about stewardship. It comes from two Greek words. A steward, the word nemo, which means to arrange, and the word oikos, which means a house. Back in that day, a steward was responsible for everything in his master's house. He owned nothing, but he was responsible for keeping care of the house. He was responsible for keeping care of the herds. He was responsible for keeping everything that the master owned. He was a steward. He didn't own it, but he took care of it. And may I tell you, the idea of stewardship in the Bible, we don't own anything. Everything belongs to God. All he asks of us is that we bring back a portion of that to him, that we might honor him, not only with our money, but with our time, our talents, our words, the gospel, with our family, with our work, with our possessions. Everything belongs to God. And when we come to understand that, God will bless us above measure, church. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. That's the introduction. Now we're getting down to preaching. Let me give you a background here. As you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to them, reminding them about the churches of Macedonia, particularly Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica, okay? Those were churches in Macedonia, and they had given to the work of the people in Jerusalem. By the way, the first church in Jerusalem was a very poor church. They needed financial assistance. So what did these churches do? They collected an offering, and they gave it to the church in Jerusalem. But not only that, they collected an offering for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a preacher of the gospel. He was a man of God who was an apostle. He was a man who wrote, by the way, 13 books of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. He got saved on the road to Damascus when this great light shined from heaven, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And sure enough, he knew the Lord was speaking to him. He knew the Lord, who the Lord was. But thank God he got saved. He became someone who persecuted the church to someone who proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know he's writing to the church at Corinth, reminding them of the churches of Macedonia and the principles of giving God's way. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, in the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first," catch this, don't miss this, "first they gave of their own selves to the Lord, and unto, by the will of God, unto us by the will of God, insomuch we desired Titus, as that he also had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Therefore," in other words, referring back to the previous verses, "as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and in diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in the grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and prove the sincerity of your love." By the way, that's going to be important. Giving is a test of your love, by the way. We're going to look at that. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." Praise God for that. Amen. Now let's look at the principles of giving God's way. First of all, I want you to know giving is motivated by God's grace. By God's grace. Now, when I talk about giving, I want to make sure you understand I'm not talking about that which is the back of your pocketbook, that billfold, or that money you have in your pocket. That's not all I'm talking about today. I'm talking about giving of yourself. I'm talking about giving of your time, your talents. I'm talking about you giving the gospel to those who need to hear the good news. But giving is motivated by God's grace. The grace of God was given to the churches. Notice what he says here in verse 1. To wit, it was the grace of God was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something about Macedonia. That area was one of the most poor areas. They had lost much by the wars that had taken place in the time of the Romans. The Romans had come and they had taken everything away from them. They hardly had anything, but I want you to know what they had, they understood it belonged to God, and they were willing to give it by the grace of God. See, their giving was made known. Their giving has been motivated by the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the results of saving, transforming faith and grace is that we will give sacrificially and generously to others. You say, "How do you know that, Brother Jerry?" Well, let me tell you what God did. You know this verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he," what? "Gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." They understood the principle that Jesus gave in Matthew 6:33, where Jesus, he's talking in that Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about possessions, and that's where we find where your treasure is, there where your heart will be also. And he says we're to lay up treasures in heaven. That's our investment. We're making heavenly investments. Every time you give a penny to this church, you're making a heavenly investment. Every time you give a dollar to missions, you're making a heavenly investment. And the Bible says we're to be investing in heavenly things, but also in that same passage, it says you cannot serve two masters. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the things of God, because you will be double-minded. Listen to me. You got to serve God alone. And at the end of that passage, in Matthew 6:33, he gives us this principle. Don't miss it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Remember what he said? He says, you know what the Gentiles are concerned about? Excuse me. The Gentiles were concerned about what they were going to wear, what they were going to eat, what house would they have over them. Remember what the Lord says in that passage? He says, look at the birds of the field. Does not God take care of the birds of the field? Does not God take care of the flowers of the field? And by the way, you know what? Those are part of God's creation. And catch this, we're the crown of his creation. Isn't it interesting? If you go back to the beginning of time in the book of Genesis, God's principle of giving, he created everything to give. The animals gave, the stars gave, the moon gave, the sun gave, the flowers gave. Everything was giving. He said, it was good, it was good, it was good. And then when he made man and woman, he said, it was very good. And by the way, he did say that of man first, by the way, ladies. I know some of you are concerned about that. But I'm sure thankful that he didn't find for us a helpmate among the animals. Aren't you? I'm glad I'm not married to a rhinoceros or an elephant. Because it says there, if you go back and look at Genesis passage, it says it was not found a helpmate for Adam among the animals. Oh, thank God. But then he created woman. He took a rib from his side and created woman. And men, listen to me today. He took it from his side, not that you would lord over her, but you would walk side by side with your wife. That you would walk with her in love, that you would give, you would be sacrificially giving to her. God honored that. But you'll see the word give, 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 give. And then all of a sudden, Satan shows up and introduces a new word. What was that word? He told Eve, you're not getting all you should get. Remember what God said? You can eat of all the trees of this garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This one tree I forbid you to eat of, because if you do, you will surely die. And he's talking about how they're going to die. They're going to die spiritually, okay? And also they're going to die physically. But listen to me. The devil entered a new word. And that new word is greatly adopted by America today. America's philosophy is this: get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid and poison the rest. You say, boy, that sounds weird, Brother Jerry, but isn't that what our world's about? Me, 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 me. It's all about me. I'm going to get everything for me. I'm going to get everything for me. But I want you to know that's not God's principle. We're to be giving by the grace of God. It's motivated by God's grace. But how is it motivated by God's grace? Giving surpasses our difficult trials or circumstances. Notice what he says, verse 2. How in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. May I tell you that circumstances should never affect how we give. You say, what are you talking about that, Brother Jerry? Well, let me tell you what they're going through. These churches of Macedonia are going through great, great trials, folks. They're under tribulation. And notice this word affliction. You know what that word affliction? It comes from a root word that carries the idea of pressing a grape. I mean, when you press a grape, you have to press it till you get every part of the juice out of it. And that's the affliction. You and I face affliction, and the devil wants to squeeze us and keep us from being what God wants us to be. But listen, through our affliction, through our trials, God will rule and reign, because he can take a trial and turn it for our good and for his glory. But listen to me. He's saying here, you should not let your circumstances, should never affect how you give. Listen to what he says about the church of Thessalonica, one of those churches. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says this: you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what, it wasn't easy at Thessalonica, but they received the word. And by the way, the church at Thessalonica became an example for all the other churches. Read 1 Thessalonians there. And they became an example. Then there in the book of Philippians 1:29, the church at Philippi, he says, you have been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe on him, but also suffer for his sake. See, I'm not going to be one of these preachers that gale you. If you come to Christ, you'll never have another problem, because that's not true. The truth is, you'll have problems, but we have a problem solver, praise God. We have a God that's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Yireh, the Lord who provides. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He is our God, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. And he will come to us where we are. When we're going through those difficult times, our giving will be given out of grace, but it'll be given in the most difficult times. God will bless us above measure. May I tell you a promise? This is me a promise. You remember Malachi? Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And there in Malachi, they're going through some things that are going on, and the children of God had rebelled against God. And he calls them out on it through Malachi. He says, wherein have we done this? Wherein have we done this? You know what they were doing? You know, back then they brought sacrifices. You know what they were bringing? They weren't bringing their best animals. They were bringing their lame and their halted and their maimed and their blind animals for sacrifice. But not only that, they were robbing God of his money. Malachi 3 says, will a man rob God? But you have robbed me in your tithes and your offerings. But listen to promise. He says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that you may be meat in mine house, and prove me, howwith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven, and I will pour out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it, praise God. Listen to me. This is a promise of God. There's two times heaven's open. Heaven open at the Lord's baptism. The Bible says heaven open through prayer, heaven opens. But also heaven opens through our giving of ourself, our stewardship, giving to others, our finances, everything. When we give, heaven opens. And the Lord says, listen, you proved me. Say, well, I can't do that, Brother Jerry. Well, you proved the Lord this year. I challenge you to do that. Starting the month of October, I want to challenge you to put aside 10% of everything you make and give it to the Lord, to this church. By the way, the storehouse is not the Red Cross. Can you give the Red Cross? Absolutely. That's an offering. That's above your tithes. Can you give to the Billy Graham? Absolutely. That's an offering. That's above your tithes. But the storehouse is the church of the Lord. As we bring that to the Lord, God is honored and blessed by our giving. And listen to me, God's going to open up the windows of heaven. How many of you want to see the windows of heaven open up? How many of you want to see God pour out on you something greater than you could ever receive? Has that happened to you? I tell you what, it's happened to me. As many of you know, I had cancer 9 years ago, and my medical bills the last 9 years, you'd be totally surprised by them. But you know what? God has provided for every one of those bills. And not only that, we have never missed a tithe to our church. You say, well, you're the pastor. You receive money from the church. You don't need tithe. No, I need to tithe just like you do. And I do. By the way, I want to make it very clear today. I have never looked at anyone in this building's tithing record. That's not my responsibility. That's God's. I've never looked at it. My dad told me when I was a young pastor, don't look, you'll be disappointed. And he was right. I don't know why, but I just haven't ever looked. And I'm not going to look. I'm not going to start now. God knows. But listen to me. We're to be giving. And as we give, God will bless us. You say, well, if I had it, I'd give it. As I said earlier, no, you would have it if you gave it. Follow the principles of the Word of God. If you give a cup of water, if you give food, if you give time, if you give money, if you give your talents, if you give the gospel, God will bless you above measure. He wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you. Now, some of you are getting excited here. The third principle, let me give it to you. Giving is motivated by God's grace. Giving surpasses our difficult circumstances. Our giving is to be generous. Now, notice what he says here. He says, verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, don't miss this part right here. This they did, not as we had hoped, but first they gave of themselves to the Lord and unto the will of God. In deep poverty, they abounded under the riches of liberality. By the way, in other words, they were, the only time you ought to be liberal, by the way, is when you give. I'm convinced. Amen? You know your pastor's not a liberal. I'm conservative. Not only in what I believe, I'm conservative in following the principles of God's word. That's our authority. God's word is our authority. It isn't my word, it's God's word that I give you today. Our giving is to be generous. We're to be abounding in that. The Macedonians, they were not rich in materials good. They didn't possess much, but what they did, they gave. They were giving sacrificially and voluntarily. And first of all, here's the principle. I don't want you to miss this. First of all, they gave of themselves. Here's the problem. You know the problem we have with giving of our time, our talents, our money, our giving the gospel? You know what the problem we have? The problem is we haven't given God our life yet. We haven't laid everything on the altar of sacrifice. Are we not to do that? We're to give God everything, folks. And we lay ourselves down before the Lord. They were willing to do that. In fact, you remember we looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2 recently where the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice to God. You're to lay your life down before God. And by the way, that's what God wants. He knows when he has your life, he'll have everything else. For some of us today, we got to be willing to lay down our life. We got to start there. We got to say, God, I'm not holding anything back. I'm not holding back any petty sins. I'm not holding back anger or strife or malice or unforgiveness. I'm giving it all to you, God. I give you my total life. Did Jesus not say in Luke 9:23, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me? He calls us to total commitment, folks. And they gave beyond their ability, beyond their power. But may I tell you also that giving is an act of worship? Notice what it says here. Verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. May I tell you, giving is a proof of our love. Giving is a proof of our love. You know what we got to do? We got to get ourselves right first. Remember Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6? What happened to him? He had a worship experience. What did he do? He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He had an upward vision of who God was. And by the way, I pray that every one of us here today would, God would reveal to us who he is. We'd have an upward vision of who God is. But then after he had an upward vision of who God was, he had an inward vision of who he was. He says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. He had an inward vision. But then, you remember, God sent one of those seraphims. They flew over there, got a coal off of the altar, and came and touched his mouth. And then the Lord said, who shall I send, and whom will go for me? And you remember what Isaiah said? Here am I, Lord, send me. In other words, not send Jim or Mary or Sue or that person. Lord, send me. And when our hearts are right in this area, God will bless us. It's an act of worship. It's a proof of our love. We're to give sacrificially and voluntarily. Listen to chapter 9. Go over there if you have a copy of the scripture. What does it say? Verse 6. But this I say unto you, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Let me ask you a question. If you want a bunch of tomatoes, do you plant just one tomato plant? I don't think so. You plant several. The more you sow, the more you reap. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. If you sow discord, you're going to reap discord, folks. But notice what he says. I love this part. Every man, verse 7, according as he hath purposed his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves an hilarious or cheerful giver. That Greek word is the word hilaros. God loves an hilarious giver. Now, I haven't run into too many of them in my lifetime, but I'm going to tell you what, it's a joy to give to God, isn't it? Let me talk about stewardship. Let me bring it down to where we are. Stewardship. We ought to have stewardship of our family. You realize, husbands and wives, you're responsible for your children? I know there's a lot of grandparents that are raising kids today, but we're responsible. We're to have the stewardship of our family. We're to raise them up in the ways of God. Deuteronomy 6 tells us about that. Husbands, you're to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, you're to be submissive unto your husband as unto the Lord. And children, you're to obey your parents. The stewardship of the family. The family is under attack, and we need some people giving in this area of the family. Let me tell you what, your family will be what you make out of it. How about the stewardship of the gospel? God's given us the good news of Jesus Christ. Are we to keep that to ourselves? No. We're to give it away. We're to let someone else know what Jesus did for us. We're to let them know this week you're to be able to share the gospel or maybe share a tract with someone. We have the stewardship of the gospel. How about the stewardship of our talents? You know what? I think there's enough people who could sing in this place that this choir loft wouldn't be big enough, Brother Jake, for all that should be singing. Hello? If God's given you a voice, now some of us, we make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, it's to the Lord it's joyful. Now, to some of us, it isn't too joyful. But listen to me. I believe some of us, even in heaven, are going to be able to sing. Amen? Aren't you glad about that? But we're to be given our talents. Whatever it is, God's assigned you a ministry. Every member of this church ought to be doing something for the kingdom. You're not just sitting there filling a pew. You're to be giving stewardship unto the Lord your talents. How about your time? Do you realize that every one of us have 168 hours in every week? Now, what if you tithe your time? That'd be 16.8 hours. You say, how would I give 16.8 hours? Well, think about it a minute. If you spend an hour a day with the Lord in his word and prayer, that'd be 7 hours. If you came to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that's about another 6 hours. That's 13 hours. And then the other 3 hours, if you gave yourself away to people in nursing homes, shut-ins, and ministry to those who need so desperately our care and love, you would tithe your time to the Lord. Time is short. Time is passing. and we're not sure of what's going to come, but we're accountable to God for our time now. It is valuable. Listen to me. We must give as God calls us to give. Stewardship involves much more than money. It involves our very lives. As the churches of Macedonia, they gave hilariously unto the Lord, and God blessed them above measure. Let me ask you a question today. What is it that God's looking for you? You know what some of you need to do? Some today need to give their life to Christ. You come here today, and you said in this place, you're not here by accident. God brought you here. And you heard that God loves you. He wants to show you mercy. He wants to forgive you of your sins. Every sin that you commit up today, God wants to forgive you of it. Isn't that good news? He wants to give you a brand new start. And I'm going to invite you to come today, take a pastor by the hand, say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And I invite you to come today and give your life to Christ. Others, you've been visiting our church. God wants you to be part of your stewardship. He wants you to be a part of a local body of believers that's serving God. We're not a perfect church, I'll tell you that right now, because we're made of human beings. But I want to tell you, this church loves people. It gives to people. It takes care of people. It prays for people. If you want a church of that nature, we invite you to come. But I believe there's others here today. God's speaking to us in this area of stewardship. And maybe it's time for us to start obeying God. You say, I want to know where to start, Brother Jerry. Well, you ask God and he'll show you where to start. Maybe today you need to just come and say, God, with your help, I want to start being a faithful steward of yours. Not only in my money, but in my talents, my time, my family, everything. I want to give myself to you, God. I will lay my life down before you, Lord. Let's stand together today. Father, we thank you for your word today.